Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. And you can get us at ESPN Radio Lex on Twitter.
You know. Our whole schedule has been thrown off by this ordeal we're going through. Yeah. And one of the worst things about that is that we have not spoken with Christian D'Andrea as regularly as we're used to. Even though it's not NFL, so we got a lot coming up. We got a draft in a couple of weeks, right?
No, no kidding.
I mean,
yeah. we need to get him back on his regular Tuesdays.
Yeah, well,
Thursdays.
Any day he could, yeah. You know, whatever day he wants is okay with us. It's at Train Island, TRAIN. Island on Twitter. The great Christian D'Andrea, our NFL guy from SB Nation. Hi, Christian.
Fellas, how are you doing this breezy and frankly frigid Thursday afternoon?
In Wisconsin, where you are, it's snowing. I'm just, ugh. It's like things aren't bad enough, right?
Yeah, right.
You know what? We're still in the snow season here in Wisconsin.
Oh, it's only April.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
A couple of years ago, UW had their graduation, and it snowed while the kids were outside waiting to walk on stage and get their diplomas. So, you know, April's not that bad for a few flurries.
You know, there are a lot of things that we talk about during the year with Wisconsin. We have a caller who is the biggest Wisconsin football fan in the world.
Yeah.
Calls here and talks to us about Wisconsin football all the time. But sometimes, I mean, I know it's a great state, but I struggle with why it's a great state sometimes. I mean, anyway, I know you're happy there.
One of the visit in one of the nicer months. I'll take you down to New Glarus. Food's incredible. People are friendly, and best beer maybe in the world.
Oh,
okay. I don't know if it's out of Munich just yet, but up there.
Yeah, I've been to Munich, and you got to go a ways to beat the beer there, and I'm not a big beer drinker. And speaking of that, a couple hours ago, you're like retweeting stuff about whiskey and goggles and overrated bourbon, and I guess it's hard when we're going through what we're going through, but it's very interesting stuff that you got going on. I can tell you that. All right, here's what I want to start with. We have the draft coming up, and all your college guys are going to the NFL. And talk to us a little bit about your feelings, because we haven't spoken to you really for a little while, about this virtual draft. They're making such a big deal of it. It's not that big a deal, right? Do they all have to be in the war room at the same time?
I mean, it's going to be a throwback to those 70s drafts where people were phoning in and the whole room, every room in the draft just reeked of cigarettes and polyester. It's going to be a simpler time of beige handset telephones and bad cone glasses. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't think you need all the amenities that these teams need in their war rooms. They're going to be able to get this done via Zoom. I think it's just going to be very interesting to see which teams can't handle the switch to a technology-infused draft like this. Because you know there are going to be some overwhelmed IT departments, and there are going to be a lot of coaches and executives and GMs who forget to hit mute or forget to hit unmute. And it's just the funniest possible way. It's going to be this great distraction from everything that's going on right now. I don't feel bad for the teams that have to go through and figure all this out. But who I do feel bad for is the players who maybe weren't invited to the combine, who maybe need to overcome a poor combine showing. They don't have their pro days anymore. They don't have their in-person meetings. Sure, they can get this all done through tape and through Zoom and teleconference their ways in, but they're not going to be able to make that same mark, have that same. You're not going to have your guys who really rise up the draft ranks in April like you did in years before. Those are the guys that I feel bad for. But in terms of can we get this done, is this going to be a normal draft? Yeah, absolutely. In terms of selecting players and going through the motions, 100% there. It's just going to be a lot more interesting to watch on TV.
All right. Now, you just said something I hadn't even thought about this. Every morning here at the company that the three of us work for, every morning I am on a conference call with several of my coworkers. And I'll start talking, and I forgot to unmute my phone. I forget the possibilities of the day after this draft, or even quicker than that, are staggering for what could happen.
I guarantee we will have to have some teams have apologies for things that they didn't know were said.
This is going to be
some slurs might get thrown out.
This is
going to
be great, Christian.
Oh yeah,
I can't wait to see you. Yeah, cool. This is what I mean. I mean, this will be awesome.
My guess is Dave Gettleman never mutes his thing, and it's just 3 hours of him saying "Hog Molly, Hog Molly, Hog Molly" over and over again, and passing on Isaiah Simmons.
Meanwhile, Sean is doing Dave Gettleman impressions now. I mean, it's how bad it's got.
It's very limited. Just one word.
Is.
Hog Molly.
It's a parody.
Is that a parody?
Now, speaking of all this virtual stuff, today I saw a couple of pro days going on with four screens, split screens, and a cornerback running a 40, and they weren't social distancing, by the way. Two of the coaches had stopwatches right next to each other. I was very upset about that. But so they're holding some guys at schools. One was at LSU. They're having pro days, these guys?
A few of them, yeah. And I think the issue is right now that some of these guys really seem to be juicing the stats. Jim Dantzler, he had a poor showing at the combine, 4.640. He goes out, and on his virtual pro day, he runs a 4.38. Well, that's really interesting. And then if you sync up the times and his clocks were stopped. He did not run a 4.38.
You don't take off over 0.3 seconds.
He's one of the ones I saw.
Get out of here. I mean, nice try.
There's a lot of guys out there, a lot of scouts charging up. Oh, my guy has used his quarantine time to put on some extra muscle. And we talked about
that. In 3 weeks,
I would like to just explain to the world and to everyone who may be listening that over the past 8 weeks, I was really getting into it before the quarantine. But after returning from the combine, I've made it a point to lock myself in the weight room. And I want to go out and tell the world that at this point I'm a lean 6'2", 215, and I just ran a 4.15. If any teams are out there looking to take a chance on a 36-year-old sports writer, I am dressed. I will not be posting the video on Twitter because of all the haters. But
you know what? You know what? I'm right here to be your agent. I'll handle all this for you. I'm all in.
Thanks.
If you're running a 4.1, I'm all in, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's a solid. What'd you say your stats were? 6'2", 215?
Yeah, lean. He's got 3% body fat, too,
okay,
right?
Maybe a Will linebacker. If you're, I mean, you ran a 4.1, so you're, you know, maybe a safety.
That was the biggest surprising thing. I'm drinking a lot of milk, get a lot of protein in, and really shocked and impressed with the progress I've made. I don't want to say I'm an inspiration, but clearly that's what I am.
It is surprising to get a growth spurt that late.
It's the milk. That's what it does it.
Yeah.
Raw milk, not even pasteurized. Unpasteurized
all right.
milk.
All right. It's good for okay, you. Can we get back to football here?
Yeah, we got some Bengals stuff to talk to Christian
talk
about.
To us about some Bengals stuff, Christian.
Oh, boy. You know what? I like what they've done this offseason. I don't necessarily agree with the guys they've targeted, but they've sent a message. They have really kind of undone a lot of the trend-setting performances they had in past offseasons where they really didn't go out and sign anyone, weren't really that ambitious in free agency, just kind of settled in on their own underwhelming guys like CJ Uzomah and Bobby Hart. What we saw this year is the Bengals went out and they made an effort to attract maybe not big-name free agents, but guys who are brand name. You know, after so much you know, bringing in the Kirkland of NFL products. They went out and bought from Von Bell. Came in, and he's someone who can really punch up the secondary that they need a lot of help with. Who else? Oh, of course, DJ Reader.
Yeah.
Finally, get someone to help punt. That's a big, big deal. But of everything they did, and it was the simplest, most common sense move, but keeping AJ Green around on the franchise tag, an absolute must have. If you're a Bengals fan, I understand why that would have concerned you, especially when they could have explained it away as we have Tyler Boyd, we have John Ross, we don't need to pay this guy $18 million. No, they made the right decision to bring back a perennial Pro Bowler who now has something to play for. He didn't really have much of a reason to come back and test that injured ankle last year. But if you take a look at the way the team performs with A.J. Green on the field versus when he's not, night and day difference. Andy Dalton going after A.J. Green about 9 yards per pass. Targeting anyone else, about 7 yards per pass. Just a significantly better quarterback with A.J. Green in the lineup. Now, that's a bump he's going to apply to Joe Burrow, presumably. And that's a huge deal. But it doesn't just affect the quarterback. Tyler Boyd, the past 2 years, has been better on the field. He averages more yards per game. He averages more yards per catch. More touchdowns, a better catch rate when Green is on the field alongside him, drawing away defenders. Mm-hmm. This is this complete rising tide of offensive help. Bengals made the right move to bring him back, and he'll punch up that offense, obviously, that they're going to have to punch up a little bit more in the draft. But you take a look at that defense, which needed a ton of help. They went out, they got those guys, they got a bunch of high-priced veterans. We'll see if those moves pay out, but the important thing is they sent the message that said, listen, our rebuild starts here. We're not going to languish anymore. We're not going to be the same old Bengals. We're going to change our philosophy, and we're going to start climbing back up the ranks.
Joe Burrow. Let's cut to the chase. Are we taking Joe Burrow, or are we, like, trading it away for 17 draft picks?
I can't imagine the Bengals would be that stupid after having
really?
Really?
I can imagine.
Seriously.
They, of course, could be. Of course they could be. But I don't think anyone's going to help them enough to make that even justifiable. Maybe they trade down to 3 and they can take 2. And even that's not a terrible decision. But, I think they understand that they're at the precipice of a fan revolt, if fans haven't revolted against them already. And they need to do what's right, make the easy choice, make the simple choice. If Burrow comes out at number one and he sucks, the Bengals, you can't really burn them from taking the consensus number one quarterback.
Right.
If they trade down and botch that, they will get roasted until eternity. It'd be an extremely Bengals move. I just don't think they are that dumb and that risky. But, you know, I've been wrong before when it comes to Bengals, so who knows?
Maybe they're going to try to get cute.
You know, we'll see, but, you know, they are the Bengals. All right, before we let you go quickly, what other sports are you missing now? Are you a big are you missing the Masters this week? Are you a big baseball fan? What are you missing?
Masters, always great background noise on Thursday and Friday to work through.
Yep.
I obviously missed the hell out of March Madness. That was one reliable way to get all of our friends together, the guys who we haven't seen in a while because they have kids. Mm-hmm. We'd be able to group up for that and watch all the games. We used to actually, one of the things we would do was rent out a couple stalls at our local driving range. They'd bring a TV down for us, get some beers, get some food there, do a big family thing. And that was always great. Miss the hell out of that.
Oh, boy.
But right now, the thing I am missing most, Brewers games and Brewers tailgates, because I've never been to a stadium that tailgates better for baseball than Miller Park, obviously.
Well, because you're all about beer.
It is the Brew Crew.
So, you know.
Beer, brats, friendly people, a lot of tailgate games.
Sounds
and then
really good.
You know, way out into Milwaukee. A lot of great brewers along the way. You can stop off there or back.
All right.
Yeah, the one thing about the quarantine is that it's really showed me how much I use sports as an excuse to drink.
Yeah.
As of course. Yeah.
Yep. Well, all right. We're going to start talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. You can let me know what works best, Tuesdays, Thursdays.
Whatever.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, man.
All right. Always a pleasure, guys.
See ya. Christian DeAndrea. He's great. All right. When we get back, Caroline Darney. We'll find out about Marvel movies and a couple other, obviously, TV things she's watching that I don't know what she's talking about. And maybe we'll talk some college hoops. All right. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.